How many of you ever heard of Balaam before? Okay, that's cool. I never had up until just a few years ago. BSF, Men's Bible Study Fellowship. So anyway, that's the first time I ever heard of Balaam. And that was some years ago, but in the last year, Balaam has come up on my radar a number of times. But before I get into that, let's just talk about weird stories of the Bible, which is what this series is about. How many of you knew there were weird stories in the Bible? We could probably, if we've read the Bible very much, we're going to encounter some weird stories. In fact, the story of God, His creation, and His movement and action and power on earth, in of itself is a pretty weird story, because we're born in these bodies with these eyes. We look around and we see the world. We learn how to work in this world, this physical, this natural world that we live in. So this concept of a God that created and a God that loves us and a God that has done this and has done that, that's in itself kind of strange, but we kind of get used to that as we grow up and we hear the story. But then when we dig into the Word and learn more about God, we encounter more weird stories. And believe me, this is one of the weirdest. But that's the point I wanted to make. The Bible, if you wanted to sell a religion to somebody, you wouldn't use the Bible for your marketing brochure, would you? You know, it's like heaven, the greatest vacation you'll ever experience. Sign up now. You know, you wouldn't put these weird stories in the Bible that are so challenging and so, you know, even uncomfortable at times. There's parts of the Bible even now that I'll admit it, I don't like. There's some parts of the Bible that I don't like. But God has graced me. He's blessed me enough to know, hey, listen, this little pea brain in my head is not going to get it all. Someday, I'll have a chance for Him to explain it. But for right now, Lord, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I know who You are, and I'm trusting in You. So when the time comes, you'll let me know. You know. Until then, I'll still keep doing my due diligence and try to use my little pea brain to grow and understand. Give Him my heart so I can grow. So anyway, that's enough about the Bible. It can be difficult to accept, hard to understand, but that's truth, isn't it? A real truth will make you a little bit uncomfortable, probably, in most cases. A non-truth will give you the vacation brochures with blue skies and pristine beaches and gorgeous hotel rooms and, you know, heaven. Sign up now. Okay. Anyway, so about Balaam, these verses, this is a pretty weird story. We got to do a little bit of a background on Balaam. And I promise not to go down, I wanted to say bunny trails, but I'm going to change that today. We won't go down the donkey trail. Okay, we won't. But there is a little bit of background needed for Balaam and Balak and this donkey and what is going on here in these verses. These verses kind of pick up halfway through the story. Balak is the king of Moab, and this is during a time when Moses is leading his people, the Israelites, through the desert. And they're just on the verge. They're not far from where they are going to be led to go in and take this promised land that God has promised through Abraham and all the prophets, that this is going to be their land. Moses is leading them. Now they're about ready to go to this land that God has promised them. The problem is that there's other people living there. Balaam is a Midianite. Balak is the king of Moab. And this huge nation of at least 2 million people has converged down to the desert and set up camp right next to Moab and King Balak. And Balak knows what has just happened. Before that, King of Sion, Og, I think is his name, the King of Sion, another powerful king, I think of the Amorites, has just been obliterated by the Israelites. So Balak, He's shaking in his boots. He sees these people, you know, this huge, oh, he says, they're coming for me. So what does he do? Balaam, in that day, was a rock star. He was known everywhere for divination, which as Balak, his first message, and Balak, before the donkey story, Balak has sent dignitaries to Balaam, important people, promising riches, prestige. It's sort of like the Super Bowl. You know, if you're a musician, Dave, you know, it'd be like all of a sudden, you know, you get a call. Hey, how would you like to play during halftime of the Super Bowl? Oh, man, Balaam's juices got flowing because this is something really big, really important. But have you ever known somebody who plays both sides of the fence? I mean, somebody really slick, really good, really good. I mean, that can rise to the heights, you know. This is Balaam. Balaam's double-minded. And I'll say double. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So they've come to Balaam, and Balak the king has asked Balaam, the seer. He's really a sorcerer. Let's just kind of say that. He's a sorcerer. He dabbles in the dark, in the divination. But he also has a relationship with God, which if you read the verses before the story, and this is, my pea brain has struggled with this. God talks to him, and he has a relationship. And Balaam, when you hear Balaam talk, you say, this is a man of God, because he uses that kind of language. So these dignitaries, they come to him, and Balak has asked Balaam, I want you to come and put a curse on these people. You know, because it's worked before. Balak tells Balaam, because we know, apparently there's something, you know, he's got a reputation. He's done this before. Whoever you curse is cursed, and whomever you bless is blessed. I highlighted those words in my Bible when I read it, because it made me remember, and I should have looked this up where this is, those same words are used kind of in the opposite way for Israel, that whomever blesses Israel will be blessed. This is God telling Abraham, I'm remembering now, that whoever blesses you will be blessed, and whoever curses you will be cursed. So there's a little symmetry there. Balak tells Balaam, come curse these Israelites before they wipe me out, because I know whoever you curse is cursed, and whomever you bless is blessed. So it's the big time for Balaam. But before our verses and our story begins, I'm still in the background. Before this has happened, Balaam says, wait here, and I will go speak to the Lord. I cannot do anything that the Lord, my God, tells me not to do. Now, that sounds like the man of God. So Balaam goes, and in the verses in Numbers, God asked Balaam, who are these men with you? He says they're big shots from Balak, and they want me to go curse these people that are right on his border. And God tells Balaam, do not go with these men, and do not curse those people, for they are blessed. That's it. So Balaam, true man of God that he is, next morning goes and tells guys, hey, listen, go back home. I'm not going with you. I'm not going to curse those people. I'm not going to get involved, because the God... For God has told me not to go with you. He left out one little thing. He didn't tell them, for God has said these people are blessed. He didn't tell them that. So anyway, to fast forward, they go back to the king Balak, and they said, he ain't coming. He says, what? He says, you know what? I'm King Balak. I got more power than that. So he contacts some bigger, more important dignitaries and officials, and sends them a second time to Balaam, saying, hey, listen, you got to come and do this. Write your own check, riches, whatever you want. Am I not the king? I can pay you whatever you want. I'll do whatever you say. You just got to come and do this. So Balaam explains to now the more important officials, I can't go. God told me, you know, God told me I can't go, even if he offers me all the gold and silver in his palaces. But wait right here. I'm going to go talk to God and see what else he has to say. See the double-mindedness? So he's playing both sides of the fence. So he goes back to God. Remember, this is the Super Bowl. His juices are flowing. He really wants this. So he goes back to God, and God says, well, God lets him have his way. Since they have summoned you, go with them, but only do what I tell you to do. So Balaam, I imagine, he conceals his excitement. Oh, boy, I get to go. You know, he goes and he tells the Moabite officials, okay, I'm in, but just remember, I'm a man of God. I can only do what God tells me to do. So there's the background for this adventure, our verses today. So off they go. He's packed up his donkey, and off they go. So God told him he could go, but only do what I tell you to do. So he's on the road. He got permission from Dad, and he's on the road. All of a sudden, this is not a pretty little baby, a cherub with wings and a harp on the road. This is a mess. This is an angel. And if you read some stories about angels, they could just turn your insides out. You know, they can be very, very powerful, and they can be warriors. And that's what this was. This was God. This was an angel of God in the road that only the donkey could see, carrying a sword. So there's God opposing him, and God tells him this. He said, I could have killed you. I'm opposing you. I would have killed you if it hadn't been for the donkey. Wait, what? God gave him permission to go. And then he's standing on the road, you know, ready to kill him for going. So I guess the short story is, my pea brain is going to try to make this fit into a compartment. He let him have his way, you know, for good, to use for good. You know, so, but still, I don't, you know, I guess he wasn't going to kill him. The donkey saved him. Thank you, donkey. You know, but once again, reiterated. So Balaam, now, you know, being so scared, he says, okay, I've sinned before you, Lord. And there's the man of God again. I'll go back home and forget it. He says, no, go on through with this. Go on through with this, but only do what I tell you. Do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. So that's where they go. So there's the background. I mean, it's still really an amazing story to me. But it gets better, and I'm going to try to be brief because I really got some points. I organized as I was constructing this. I kind of have three sections. One section is on Balaam. The next section is on God. And the third section is on us. So I want to get to all my points and not, you know, run over time. Can we stay late today? No, I'm just kidding.
It's a great story. It's weird.
It's weird. It fits with the Weird Stories of the Bible series that we're in right now. So anyway, Balaam shows up. Balak says, there you are. What do you think? Don't you think I'm able to pay you, man? I'm going to do everything that I promised you to do. It's good to see you. Balaam says, well, can I only do what God tells me to do? Okay, let's get to it, you know. So off they go, Balaam and Balak. They go off to the side of the hill, and they do the proper things. They offer sacrifices to the Lord God. Balak over here, and I think Balaam even did it in a different place. But, you know, before the fun, before the work begins, they do their right thing, and they give honor to God so that they will be victorious, successful. So that's done. Check. That's off to the side. Balak and Balaam, off they go to the side of the mountain, you know, where they can see this mass of humanity, this Israel nation. This is a nation of Israel in the desert, camped. And Balak is rubbing his hands because, you know, now he's not going to get destroyed by it because Balaam is here. He's going to waylay him. So Balak says, go, man. Go, Balaam. Get him. curse him. Balaam stands there, looks over there, and he opens his mouth, and he starts to speak, and he starts uttering all these, like, blessings. Oh, wait a minute, let me try again. Curse him, Balaam. Blessings! Balak, you know, he looks at, wait a minute. What are you saying? And this goes on, and this happens time and time again. Balaam is trying to curse this nation of Israel, but God is only allowing him to speak blessings upon this nation of Israel, his people. His people who were blessed and ordained by God to show us God himself and how to live with God and how to live for God. God tells us in so many ways how to live. You can distill it down into ways that you can comprehend, but it's still from God. And that is still destined to come from Israel, this nation. Ain't no way Balaam is going to be able to curse, but Balak, the king, said, okay, time out, stop. Let's go over to this place and try it over there. So if you're interested, go back to, there's five oracles. Five times Balaam tries this, and Balak keeps taking him from one place to another. Okay, didn't work there. Let's try it over here. Didn't work there. Let's try it over here. Finally, after he's had enough, you're fired, dude. And he says, and I ain't paying you a dime. And Balaam says, okay, well, I told you, I can only say what God says. So there's the oracles, and there's Balaam. Now, Balaam is mentioned prominently in the Bible. Did you know that? He's like mentioned, let's see here, I got it. He's in Jude, he's in Joshua, he's in Deuteronomy, he's in Numbers. Jude is a New Testament book, which refers to the error of Balaam. 2 Peter, he's mentioned. And then this year in Men's BSF, we're studying Revelation. There he is again. He's mentioned one of the churches that John receives a revelation about from Jesus is following the teachings of Balaam. And I thought, wow, really? Really? So Balaam's there, but Balaam is not a good guy. He goes on, after Balak fires him from Moab, if you read, keep going through Numbers, right after that is the story of Israel being seduced by Moab. I don't know if you're familiar with this story or not, but these enemies of Israel back in that day, it was Balaam, according to Moses, it was Balaam who advised Balak, says, you can't beat them militarily, but send your women to their men and introduce your gods to the men of Israel, and you can defeat them that way. It almost worked. Well, I guess to a certain degree it did work. And to a certain degree today, it's still working. But there's a very poignant story about what happened in the temple when an Israeli, a Hebrew man, brought his Moabite wife or girlfriend or mistress or whatever she was into the camp. And I'll just kind of leave it at that, but that's attributed to Balaam. This guy was, I don't know, he had a relationship with God, but listen, God also has a relationship with the devil. God and Satan, his enemy, they have a relationship. I think the enemy knows that his days are numbered, but he's going to do his worst in the meantime. Sooner or later, eventually, God's going to win. Everybody knows that, or everybody should know that. Even the devil knows that. So, I mean, God had a relationship with Balaam. And God's never spoke to me in the ways that this Bible, but he has spoken to me in unmistakable ways, differently. But, I mean, he really communicated directly with Balaam, really used Balaam in a big way. Balaam eventually was killed by the sword in Midian when the Israelites, in order to claim their land that God had given to them, they overran the Midianites. And they put Balaam, son of Peor, to the sword, and that's how he died. So he met an end. God shows us in Balaam this. God shows us through Balaam an example of a corrupt teacher who deceives believers into compromising with worldliness. Remember, Balaam wanted the riches and he wanted the fame. So God did talk with Balaam. He let Balaam follow his wrong desires, but he used them for good. Read the Bible. Read these lessons. From God's word, he gave us something good out of Balaam. I mean, in 100 years, nobody's going to be left on earth who remembers my name. I'm sure of that. And I don't care. That's fine. I mean, but Balaam is living on, but Balaam is being remembered on in Scripture for the lessons that God is giving us. So even in Balaam's misguided, wrong, enemy of Israel desires, God's using it for good. And God is a mystery. Remember the pea brain? Is a pea brain going to grasp the infinite? But God gives us so much. He gives us so much. He gives us so much that we can understand. So much that we can experience. So much that we can love. There's the points. God, in the lesson plan, the point is God gives us direction in our lives. And yes, he does. But I want to add something to that. I want to add for us that we need to let God have all of us. All of us. Did you know with every thought, about every time you breathe, you have a thought. With every breath, with every thought, we're even getting closer to God or we're moving away from God. It could be just a little tiny, that's okay, isn't it? Just this much. Well, you're either going towards him or you're moving away from him. You can always find your way back, but just remember. Remember God. Remember him moment by moment. I mean, it's great. I love church. I love worship. 10:30 on Wednesday morning, you can have church right at that moment. 10:31, you can have church right at that moment. If you're a young person, you see you need some money, you see your mom's purse laying right there, you could take some money out of it. You're having a choice. You can have church right there at that moment. I used to cheat on my taxes. It was easy. All I had to do was just construct this argument, you know. The government wastes so much money, they're not going to miss this, you know. I don't care. IRS, come get me now. I'll pay, you know. I'm admitting it, you know. But that was a choice. Two ways we can go. We can go the way of Balaam and kind of try to play both sides and be slick. And try to get away with it. Maybe you will even for a time. Or you can be outright wicked. It doesn't matter. It's all moving away from God. Or you can let God have all of you. All of you. All your life. All your thoughts. Let him have all of you. There's nothing better in the world or in life or in eternity than that. Amen.